Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Meryl Hess, Elijah Price, Joey Devine, Cole Sear, Cleveland Heap, Sean Keane, Kevin Wendell Crumb, Stuart Little, Patreons, Alan Hutchison Maxwell, thank you, Alan. Tyler Fortney, thank you, Tyler. Musical guest, the Dead Milkmen. And now, the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back after a quick vacation with an all-new episode. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in the City of Angels.
Hey, that's
Dream
where I
Bakery.
Live.
Yeah.
Lipstick City, baby.
I'm not going to tell you what neighborhood, but let's just say I've been rocking with the Eagles, baby.
Ooh. So you're in Fishtown? You're at Wawa? Wait, that's not the City of Angels.
No, but I'm outside Don Henley's house.
Oh, okay.
In an RV.
So you're in the canyon.
I'm in the canyon. With the ladies, where the bad boy of soft rock drumming hangs out.
Is there any weirder group of bands to like that people romanticize than Laurel Canyon?
It's weird.
It's such a strange grouping of people.
It's just like, yeah, man, you want to go to the Troubadour? Like, I guess.
Yeah, but like that group of people, it's like, yeah, Stephen Stills was hanging out with Jackson Browne and the Steely Dan guys and the Eagles.
And when Warren Zevon wasn't too scared to leave the house, he'd hang out and pass out drunk.
And of course, the king of Laurel Canyon himself, Jackson Browne.
Right. Like all these guys who turned out to be like kind of terrible people,
uh-huh,
too.
Yep. The Eagles, Jackson Browne, all bad people.
Uh-huh. Stephen Stills, maybe, seems like an unpleasant person.
Yes. Anyway, you know who else seems sort of unpleasant? Jacob Dylan, a man who directed that movie. All right.
Wait, what movie did he direct?
Oh, it's called, like, Sounds from the Canyon.
Oh, great.
And it's, like, mostly those people, like, talking about, like, yeah, I used to live under Glen while I was riding Running on Empty. And then it'll intercut between Jacob Dylan, Beck, and Cat Power, like playing covers of the Birds, uh-huh, or whatever. Anyway, imagine if your dad was Bob Dylan and you were obsessed with Jackson Browne.
Oh, boy. Oof.
Honestly, whatever, dude. Sean, it's been a while. You know what we need to visit?
What's that?
Some business, baby!
Oh, yes!
At Round Rock Pod on Twitter, roundrockpod@gmail.com is our email. Call us on the phone at the number in the description of the episode. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/roundrockpod. We took a vacation from that for a bit, but we are back this week with some dumb bullshit.
It's gonna be stupid.
Yep. Just know I'm toying with a new character for them.
It
will be Patreon only. Let's just say that. Sean, is there anything you want to plug off the bat?
Yeah,
while
I'll plug
people
it.
Are listening, like maybe are you recording an album anytime
I
soon?
I am, actually. It's on September 29th. Mm-hmm. And it's at the SF Punchline. That's a Wednesday night. You can get tickets now. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets now for an album that's going to come out on Blonde Medicine Records.
Buy those tickets, baby.
Still don't have a title in mind.
Well, you know what? If you don't have a title, this is like those packs friends make, you know?
Uh-huh, right.
Well, like,
right.
If we're still single, when we're 40, we'll get married. If you don't have a title, in a month, I will name your album, Sean.
Oh,
and it will be bad, so you better come up with a title.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, that's a good... That's
I hope I hope you're not looking forward to an album called Big Wave Dave by Sean Keen.
I mean, now I kind of am looking forward to that. And it's just, that's the, people are like, why is Bosch punching a picture
of you?
The cover
is
album.
Of you.
Of me.
But honestly, yeah, maybe that should be your album.
I guess I should. Yeah, now I think it should be. And then there's like a 10-minute Bosch chunk that I do.
Yeah. speaking of Bosch, Sean.
Yeah.
Bosch was a book first.
That's
and you know
true.
What people do to books? They read them, baby. Reader mail time!
Oh! Great segue.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean. Our first question comes from our friend John Phillips. Who's from the canyon, I believe, you know, because he's in the Mamas and the Papas.
Right.
No, this is a different John Phillips. That John Phillips is a monster and we disown him. But we love this John Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Sean and Joey. It's no secret that the Timberwolves Prince tribute jerseys were some of the best alternate jerseys we've seen in the Nike era. I think it'd be cool if they based more alternate jerseys on local musicians, like Cows or Halo of Flies or something. Hell, bring them in for a halftime show during the season when they have the jerseys on. Anyways, my question is, what teams would you like to see have a jersey based on a local artist, regardless of brand synergy, and what would it look like? Thanks from Saskatchewan.
He's
Sean.
From the canyon in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. He's Calgary Dreamin'? I don't know if Calgary's in
that's in Alberta.
Fuck. Anyway, Sean, what music themed jerseys?
Well, obviously, I've been advocating this for a while, but the Kings need to come out with the City Edition cake jerseys.
Yeah, you have been advocating that. I prefer
they're
a
the band.
Jersey,
they're the band
but...
of Sacramento. Harrison Barnes is the cake of the NBA. I've said that before. I don't know what would be on it necessarily. It would be like, it would say cake in the logo. Mm-hmm. And then it would say like going the distance.
Sure. It'd be like that crown. It'd be it's brand synergy there with the crown.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I think if they're gonna do that though, the jerseys, the uniform has to be short skirts and long jackets.
Oh, well, that would be cool. Yeah, I'm into that. Yeah, you want to got to attract free agents. A certain kind of free agent is going to love that, I think.
Mine is a is actually another Minneapolis one. And I would like to see a Soul Asylum Timberwolves jersey, and it's just that ratty Cheerios shirt he used to wear all the time.
Okay.
You know how Dave Perner always wore, oh no, SpaghettiOs, not Cheerios, my bad. How he always wore a ratty SpaghettiOs t-shirt.
So it's like a ratty SpaghettiOs
t-shirt?
Yeah,
with like holes in it. Yeah, yeah.
See, I was thinking of like a replacements jersey, which would be like plaid and really ratty with holes in it.
Yeah, but it's Soul Asylum so much funnier.
It is a lot funnier than the replacements. Like the replacements would make you like a little bit sad and bittersweet. Mm-hmm. Soul Asylum, like, yeah, we could get into that.
I would, of course, also.
What
like...
would the B-girl be on them? Oh, that's Blind Melon. I'm sorry.
What kind of 90s kid are you? Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
That's your era, man. You Shannon Hoon idiot.
I saw Blind Melon a week before he died.
The other thing I'd like to definitely see is like some kind of pig champion themed Portland Trailblazers jersey.
Oh, my God. What do you think that would look like?
I four sizes too big.
Right.
That's
right.
It. But it would have a little drawing on him, like a little logo, like a Kilroy was here, but like just like a bearded man with terrible sunglasses.
And what about like a Lumineers Nuggets jersey? What do you think about that?
The Lumineers are from Denver.
I think so.
I could have sworn they were, like, English, dude. Hold on. I mean, it certainly fits that they... I mean, what about... Okay, there's one... How many famous people are there from Salt Lake City? And also Las Vegas?
Wait, are you talking about...
Give me a Killers
Pilots?
Utah Jazz jersey, baby.
Wait, the killers are from Salt Lake City?
Well, he's Mormon. It's close enough. No, they're from Las Vegas, baby.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
I'd like to see, I honestly, though, would like to see a Pitbull Miami Heat jersey.
Yeah, yeah, right? I mean, that feels right. I feel like you could have a, maybe like a Jimmy Buffett one, too, where it's like just flowered. Like, it's like... How would you make a Tommy Bahama basketball jersey? Mm-hmm. That feels like it would be pretty good. Oh, and of course, the Dr. John's Peloton.
Well, we've talked about that before, haven't we?
We have.
It feels like a joke we've done on the show.
What about, like, would you have a Smashing Pumpkins Bulls jersey?
No, God, no. Like, if you're going to do Chicago, right? Do a better band than the Smashing Pumpkins. You know what I mean? Like, somebody cool.
Not the scribe, Billy Corgan, one of the two 90s scribes.
No. Get out of here with that. Like, there's so many good bands from Chicago, right? Like, the Smashing Pumpkins are not the best band from Chicago. Like, don't you want to see an Earth, Wind, and Fire Bulls jersey?
I mean, yes.
A Styx Bulls jersey?
I want the Wilco jersey, man.
That's the obvious one. They would do that. What about a Veruca Salt?
That would be tight. And Bulls it's got jersey. Like that volcano going on.
Or what about an OK Go Bulls jersey, Sean?
I would like to see the Veruca Salt.
It comes with
Salt
a helmet
edition.
From their like dumb stunts they do on YouTube.
Like the jersey gets released because there's like somehow these dominoes and then like... like a toy rocket blasts off and it's all they're like, oh, this whole game's just gonna be in one take.
Seriously, and though, an terrible. Actual one I would like to see is I would like to see a Hall & Oates Sixers jersey.
Oh, that would be tight.
I don't know what would be on it. Maybe that maybe like again a silhouette of a mustache.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it would be like their silhouettes and then
yeah. But that would rule. There's a lot of good Philadelphia.
Do you think Todd Rundgren would get mad about that?
I mean, Todd Rundgren is mad about everything.
So I don't think. I don't think he really cares about basketball.
Are there any San Francisco bands you would like to see the Golden State Warriors wear, Sean?
You know, I was thinking about it. Like, the obvious one is the sort of like mock Lithuania jerseys, mm-hmm. but I'm like, that's like too. That's like not funny enough.
Right.
So I would like to see some like really intense Metallica jerseys mm-hmm. that just look like a shirt from 1989. You know, it's the Warriors logos in the Metallica font. They're mm-hmm. all black. or like maybe they just go back to those Nike like t-shirt things.
See, I don't know. Going 60s with San Francisco is too on the nose for the Warriors.
Right.
I think you go like Faith No More.
What if you have like Chris Isaac jerseys?
Well, the funniest one would be a Dead Kennedys one, right?
Dead Kennedys would be pretty funny. What about a train jersey?
No!
And everyone's jersey says Virginia on the back.
Get out of here!
I mean, also the Counting Crows jersey would be very funny.
Does Atlanta get to claim Athens?
No.
Right. So, like, that, because those would be, like, it would be real cool to have a B-52s Hawks jersey.
You'd have to have a Ludacris jersey.
Right. That's the thing. That's the obvious way they would go. But, like, could you imagine how fucked up a B-52s jersey would be? It would be so cool.
Actually, I kind of think they would end up doing like the Warriors would end up doing the Santana jerseys. That's actually feels more likely.
Gross. Journey, dude. Do a Journey jersey. No. Not Hall & Oates. Fucking Huey Lewis. Give me a Huey Lewis jersey.
Yeah,
baby.
It's got the pool table from sports.
Deerhoof. Give me a Deerhoof jersey.
What about a Brian Jonestown Massacre themed jerseys?
We don't claim them. They were in Portland too long.
Team Danny Warhols.
What about an Imperial teen jersey? All right. Anyway, time to move on.
Yeah, we gotta go. Okay.
We got, this is less of a question and more of an interesting email we got, Sean. So remember... Yeah. A couple of episodes ago when we were talking about our friend Riff Raff,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, how sick would a Houston Riff Raff jersey be?
I mean, yeah, sure. I love it.
It'd be crazy.
Is it like, what would you put on the front? Like a bottle of codeine?
No. What's, he has that, like, what is the name of that album? The alcoholic crocodile one? Hold on.
not vanilla gorilla, alcoholic alligator.
Alcoholic alligator, yeah. You put the silhouette of that on there.
I mean, there's so many animals. The tangerine tiger, the hologram panda,
dude,
the pink python.
Jody Highroller would make a good, that's some sick jerseys, dude.
Okay.
Anyway, our friend Bryant Black emailed us because we were talking about him and Mac McClung. And he said, grew up playing basketball in the neighborhood with Horst Simcoe. That's Riff Raff / Jody Highroller. Every day during my middle school summers in the Houston suburbs, listening to Screw Tapes. Then went on to cheer for Texas Tech when Mac McClung was there as an alum. Had no idea they were cousins, so I appreciate that tidbit. And Bryant, here is what I would like to ask you. Please call us on the phone or email us again and tell us what style of basketball player did Horst Simcoe / Riff Raff / Jody Highroller play in middle school basketball games?
Yeah, I want like a scouting report on Raff.
Mm-hmm. Because if there's anything we know about Riff Raff, it's that he could have played for the Dallas Mavericks, but they found crack in his jacket. From again the greatest freestyle of all time. Look that up. Riff Raff Sway in the Morning Freestyle. It is one of my favorite things in the world. Our next question comes from Nick Palowski. And he says, I guess I should say they say now, huh? I need to be better about that, because I don't know. I don't want to gender Nick. The sale of Paul Allen's yacht got me thinking. Outside of it making the estate solvent so they will obviously massively invest in the Trailblazers, what if yachts could be involved in trades? I'm thinking one of Tillman Fertitta's boardwalks for the Mavericks roster. Jason Kidd could coach the crew, and it would lead to far less sexual harassment allegations because of the implications. Thank you. Sean. I mean,
the implication of being on a boat, that's true.
How would, like, Kevin Pelton value yachts and trades, though? That's the mistake I see. That's the one, not mistake, that's the trouble I see here.
Well, that's why we need to use the new metric I came up with, YAR, yachts above replacement. So we need to establish what the baseline is for a billionaire's boat. Not necessarily a boat, but, like, you know, we're going to assume that every NBA owner, aside from maybe the buses, has a yacht or at least has a lot of yacht access. So it's not so much that we have to value what Paul Allen's yacht is, but, like, what is the added value of, you know, the Octopus diving console? How much is a helipad?
Is that worth, like, say, a PJ Tucker?
Right, exactly, exactly. So we need to think about the marginal value of these yachts, which is what Tillman thinks about too, because he's willing to get a whole other yacht just to get a slight upgrade over the rest of the yacht, which is the opposite of how he feels about the basketball team. Which is, you know, that would be him scavenging a yacht for parts, maybe selling any of the copper wire he could find, or and, like, complaining to the Coast Guard constantly about his taxes, I think.
Which, by the way, look at Christian Wood's Instagram stories, by the way, because he was on Tillman's yacht. Yes,
he was on Tillman's yacht. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
There is a helipad on Tillman boardwalk. How can Tillman Fertitta own a helicopter but not a team that wins basketball games now?
He's got to have his priorities, and unfortunately, he only really cares about the wharf. That's where his heart is, you know, where the pier hits the water, the two blocks surrounding it, and everything up to and including international waters. So, yeah, if the Rockets could play in international waters, he would pay the luxury tax on that. But he would also claim he didn't have to pay the luxury tax because there's no luxury tax in international waters.
Now, what kind of boat does Ben Simmons get you in these trade? John?
Okay, well, it can't be a Coast Guard boat because you know this boat's not going to shoot. I think, like, okay, so Ben Simmons, I think you're going to.
You know what?
Don't
answer this honestly. Answer it. What kind of boat is Ben Simmons worth if you're Nate Duncan?
If you're Nate Duncan, well, I think he basically considers it a boat that is essentially at the scavenge level, like that the title of the boat is worth something, but you need to do so much work. You've got to commit to being in dry dock for 2 years and just waiting for the landscape to change when you get an opportunity to sail again. When you get another bite at the harbor, that's what he's waiting for.
I'm thinking of, like, what are those kind of, like, what are those boats that, like, Rambo drives in Rambo 4?
like a Zodiac? Is it like an inflatable thing with a motor on it? I could not tell you. I've not seen anything past Rambo 2.
Well, you got to see Rambo 4, dude.
All I missed Rambo 3 because I felt like I was supporting Al-Qaeda by watching
it. So according to the Rambo wiki, John Rambo's boat is a longboat that is used by John Rambo to fish or taxi people down the Siwen River. I would say it's similar to
Is he back in Vietnam in 4?
Yes, yeah. I would say it's he lives there in 4, Sean. I would say it's similar to, like, the Jungle Cruise boat, if that makes
sense. Okay, yeah. Kind of like
I
the
think
African
that's what
Queen.
Nate Duncan thinks Ben Simmons is worth. Like a
like
the African Queen.
Boat?
Yeah, like a fucked up river boat. But you know, not like a river boat that, like, you'd gamble on.
Yeah. Not enough range, basically.
Right. Like a small...
One that Humphrey Bogart gets drunk on.
Like a water taxi. That's what it is. A water taxi. he can't shoot threes. He's not worth a max deal. Give me a shitty dinghy.
What about Bradley Beal?
I don't know why my Nate Duncan is Obama. I think like a rescue boat.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Yeah.
Actually, no. Bradley Beal to Nate Duncan. What was Hulk Hogan?
I don't know what you're talking about at all. I don't
Hulk
even know
Hogan
what show
had a
you
show.
Mean.
Okay. Hulk Hogan had a show called Thunder in Paradise, and his boat was like Knight Rider. It was Knight Rider with a boat, dude.
Oh, it's called a Scarab?
Well, it's like it's just a high-tech boat the two former Navy SEALs work on. Called Thunder in Paradise.
Well, he actually commissioned a boat, and he claims he made the decision when he was heavily medicated following a surgery. I believe that except for the last three words.
Mm-hmm, sure. Here, I'll send you.
So he's a hyper intelligent boat.
Yeah, it's like Knight Rider if it was on a boat and starred Hulk Hogan, Sean.
And that's Bradley Beal.
Yeah, that's the boat he's worth because he shoots threes.
Oh right, okay.
Here's a weird picture of
so
Thunder in
boat.
Paradise.
that's a weird boat, dude.
Yep, but it's like. That's like the ideal cool guy boat, you know what I mean? I mean, it's not a rental property, but it's pretty good. All right, we got to get to the
the meat.
Oh, actually, there's one more quick question I wanted to ask you, Sean, that we had in here that we did not put in the rundown. It's from our friend Mike Burkett, and he asks, which owner is more likely to have a Goodfellas poster up on their wall right now? James Dolan or Mark Cuban?
I think it's Cuban. I don't think...
It's
don't
absolutely think, Cuban.
Because I think James Dolan is, like, too sheltered for that.
No, James Dolan has one movie poster in his house, and it's the Buena Vista Social Club.
I thought he might have a poster of that Ralph Macchio movie about the ghost of Robert Johnson.
No, don't you think Buena Vista Social Club is we're right in the right zone there?
It's almost like, I mean,
it's like almost too.
He's like, he almost
non-American,
too...
but like, it, like it, he, it... I doubt he's even seen it. I just think he's like, there's a guitar on here and it makes me seem cool.
Uh-huh. And he's like, Ry Cooter. He still won't jam with me.
All right. But there's a
Crossroads
main...
is that movie, by the way. Crossroads
there's
is about
a, main question
a magical to... guitar. Yeah.
There's a main question we need to answer today. It comes from our friend John L. And it mentions our friend Katie Heindel. Follow her at whatevs on Twitter. And read NBA Summer Vacation Watch on Dime. But John says, in the most recent Summer Vacation Watch, Katie Heindel writes that the Chicago Bulls are the NBA's old beach. Which NBA team is which M. Night Shyamalan movie setting? So which team is the apartment complex from Lady in the Water, which is the village from The Village? Now, you have the movies he wrote here at the bottom.
Yes.
I want to include those movies.
Okay.
Should we do them in order?
I think we do want to do them in order,
okay.
Right?
Okay, so let me move these. Mm-hmm. Wide Awake is actually a movie he directed as
yes,
well.
Yes, it is. And it is weird. If you have not seen the movie Wide Awake, it is bizarre.
It seems so strange.
All right, so Sean, I will read you while we're doing this, because it's the first one we're going to do, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I will read you the plot summary for Wide Awake, written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring a child named Joseph Cross and Dana Delaney, and more important, Rosie O'Donnell as the nun.
Mm-hmm.
A 10-year-old boy goes on search for God after his grandfather dies.
Yeah.
Sean, it's very Catholic, too, this movie. It's, like, insanely Catholic. So, Sean, I want to ask you, which NBA team is the most Catholic school-y in the NBA?
I mean, okay, so it's about a guy, I mean, the obvious answer is the Celtics, but they're also like Mormon-y. But okay, so the plot is about him. He's upset because his grandfather died and he can't mm-hmm. make sense of it or believe that there's a God anymore after that.
Do you
want to
know who plays the grandfather?
Please.
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia.
Do you want to know who
Kid,
plays his
I'm
son?
I'm going to die.
I mean, his dad. Do you want to know who plays his dad?
Who's his dad?
Dennis Leary, of course.
I mean, there's a strong Celtic influence to this. Don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but oh yeah, okay. So it's the Celtics, and this is what this is. The Boston Garden's the Catholic school, and this kid is actually kind of like Bill Simmons, and he's looking for answers to why Len Bias died.
Well,
and in fact, he gets to the point where he makes a recurring podcast series about the what if mm-hmm. if Len Bias hadn't died.
25. Well, Sean, I'm glad you brought up Bill Simmons, because first off,
I believe we should ban the DH, long putters, extra points, the NIT, and pickoff throws. You really want to know what I believe? I believe in the four-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food.
I believe God will help me get my grandpa back.
Oh, no.
I think that the Memphis Grizzlies are Wide Awake, Sean. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Mine is also a Bill Simmons reason. It's Catholicism. It's all about guilt, right? If you remember right,
yes.
Bill Simmons once said the reason the Grizzlies don't win home playoff games is because they're thinking of Martin Luther King being assassinated. So put two and two together, buddy.
Wow.
All right, Sean. Our next movie is, of course, Stuart Little.
Stuart Little.
And
Night
Shyamalan wrote it. It's about a very charming mouse.
Voiced by Michael J. Fox.
Mm-hmm, yep. Do I need to explain what Stuart Little is? I don't think so.
I mean, it's weird, but yeah, it's odd that we all just kind of know it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, he's there's a cat that really doesn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
They deal with bullying.
So Sean, what NBA team is a family that adopts a mouse as if he were a human child? I'll tell you right now, this is the Boston Celtics. And Jason Tatum is that lovable mouse.
Wait, he's the mouse? He's not young, he's just small. He's very small. I'm thinking more of the size factor of this.
See, I'm thinking of it more as an adoption slash coddling story.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm going the Celtics and Jason Tatum.
I'm trying to think that, like, well, they do try to find Stuart. The movie is about trying to find Stuart's birth parents,
mm-hmm.
who died. And he's like, okay, so the plot of the movie is more about Stuart being stolen by imposters, mm-hmm. actually.
Okay.
There's not really a twist ending. If you've seen this, it actually ends up, it's the plot of an evil cat
mm-hmm.
to destroy this adopted like a guy from somewhere else who went to fit in. And I would say this is maybe somebody who has had to deal with the haters at their place before. Mm-hmm.
So is it the Philadelphia 76ers?
That Ben Simmons is Stuart Little?
No, Ben Simmons is the cat. Joel Embiid is Stuart Little.
Stuart Little? And they can't get rid of the cat? And they're like, Joel, your parents aren't here anymore. I still am inclined to pick a smaller player. That's my only thing. But I don't have an obvious answer why. Like, it almost felt like when Victor Oladipo went to the Pacers, but
okay, what about this? Is Trae Young Stuart Little and the cat is the looming salary cap implications?
Yeah, that's what it is. And they made a trade, and yeah, Trae Young is kind of mouse like too, and eventually he's gonna look for his real dad. Because right now, it's not clear that Danilo Gallinari and Clint Capella can raise him as their own.
All right, Sean. A lot of people don't know he wrote this.
Uh-huh.
But M. Night Shyamalan wrote She's All That, so he claims.
Well, he punched it up, yeah.
So he claims.
I think he's responsible for some of the weird things in that movie. Like, I could see him writing that pube pizza scene.
Don't you think he's really into hacky sack?
Oh, yeah. He wrote that. He's like, yeah. Yeah, I used to hacky. M. Night loves playing basketball, by the way. He's a basketball freak.
M. Night Shyamalan, come on the show.
On the show. We can just talk about basketball if you want. Okay, so She's All That. So that centers around a bet someone made. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because of that, I kind of think it's the Dallas Mavericks, Joey.
See, I get where you're going there. Like, Haralabob
made a bet.
I get where you're going there, but I want to go the other way. Because really, it's a movie about a nerd who became a hot girl, right? And that's where I want to go. And I think this is the Denver Nuggets.
Wait, Jokic is the nerd who became a hot girl?
Yeah, he was like a weird chubby teen who now grew up to be the MVP and everybody loves him.
But did anyone trick him? That's the thing. I'm Jokic, like,
kind of did, right? Well,
I'm more thinking of I'm thinking of the evil popular kid who did it as a trick and then was like sorry about it later.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Fair. I want to be like, that's Dame, that's Dame Lillard.
And I don't know how that relates to,
yeah, yeah. The problem is he's not hot enough. All right, Sean, finally we get to a big one.
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
This is, for those of you that don't know, is about a boy who can see dead people.
He can see dead people. it turns out there's a little boy and your main
Don't spoil
character...
it. Don't spoil it.
Okay. Well, the main character has a secret. Uh-huh. Let's just say that. Yeah. There's a twist.
And his secret is that he was friends with Donnie Wahlberg.
I honestly think that right now, this is kind of the Clippers right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ghost haunting the team, but also there are many, many ghosts that are constantly haunting this team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of money involved. It's a blockbuster, but there's just one little boy named Steve who can see the spirits because he's got so much energy himself.
Mm-hmm.
And their playoff chances have always been dead, Joey. They've always been dead.
I see where you're going there, but I think that the Sixth Sense is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
And the little boy is either Colin Sexton or Darius Garland.
Not Nick Gilbert.
And he's just surrounded by the ghosts of a good basketball past, and they're just staring at Kevin Love like... I almost spoiled it.
His contract will never go away, basically.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realize it.
we can spoil his Sixth Sense. He's just staring at Kevin Love like, you're a fucking dead guy.
And he does things like going to the Olympics. There's all these shots of him hanging out at the Olympics, and then like he's sitting across from Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant's not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, "I remember when you were an all-star."
All right, Sean. Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. Okay, so what we basically have in this one is a really, really fragile guy.
Mm-hmm. And a really, really strong man.
And a really, really indestructible guy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
In a way, Joel Embiid is both of these people. that movie's set in Philly.
They're all set in Philly,
I also don't...
His whole Joel thing is they're set in Philly.
Most of them are set in Philly, yeah. M. Night loves Philly. But also, I do remember... I mean, Joel Embiid is both Unbreakable and Mr. Glass, right? Mm-hmm. Is that wrong? And then there's a kind of a nefarious guy who's coming around and trying to destroy team chemistry, but they won't shoot him. Also, Joel Embiid is afraid of water, much like David Dunn. Is that his name?
His name is David Dunn. Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to swim. He has said he's posted videos of himself struggling to swim. So this is not a stereotype. He literally does not know how to swim.
That's pretty good, Sean. But this one to me is I think this one's the Clippers. Where Kawhi Leonard is like a nefarious man who's hurt all the time, not in the movie a lot, just pulling all the strings.
He's pulling all the strings, yeah. But committing crimes.
It's revealed there at the end that he was in charge the whole time. And I guess that makes Ivica Zubac David Dunn.
A lot of these plots
the only
do
one
not,
who's not hurt.
You know what happens with a lot of these M. Night movies? Mm-hmm. You take half a step back from the closed world, and you're like, this doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's all of them. All of them are like that. Like, I don't really understand why he was derailing a train to begin with.
Well, Sean, have you seen Glass?
I'm not going to see Glass.
Well, he explains that at the end of Glass.
He needs to go viral? Is that the reason he's trying to do that, right?
No, dude. Glass invents Mr. Split, who we'll get to. The train crash also invents Mr. Split, which is not his name, but because he's Mr. Glass, I call him Mr. Unbreakable and Mr. Split.
You're talking about Elijah Price and Kevin Wendell Crumb.
Yeah, Kevin Wendell Crumb.
All right. Okay, but you think Signs? Okay. Wait. Who's the unbreakable one on that?
Ivica Zubac.
Kawhi is just Ivica Zubac is unbreakable.
Yeah. All right, Sean. Signs is about a family who. Is hanging out in their farmhouse during an alien attack. That's basically what this movie's about. M. Night Shyamalan once again plays a priest for like the third time.
Yeah.
Water is again the victim, the weakness of the aliens. So, Sean, I think I'm going to take this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that this is the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it's not just because they're at a farm or whatever, but it's because they are a group of grieving people because their family died, waiting for things to drop from the sky and something to happen to them.
Right. And they have a lot of aliens.
The lottery picks are the crop circles.
Well, the aliens are like Koku and Josh Giddy and like they're like resident
just all
aliens.
The picks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like Presti is Mel Gibson.
And Presti's predecessors are like, when you're trading a valuable veteran, swing hard. And
Lugan's Dort is Meryl Hess, Joaquin Phoenix's character.
Yeah, and some people, they also had an important person to them crushed by a car. His name was Aubrey McClendon.
Mm-hmm, yep. Sean, who do you think Signs is?
No, I'm with you on that one. Right. I think that's good.
We did that one. I hit it out of the park. Not unlike Joaquin Phoenix in that Alien, huh?
Yeah, I feel like you did pretty well there. And then you know, there's a lot of kids in Signs too. Like,
yeah. Rory Culkin is of course SGA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who's Abigail Breslin?
I think Abigail Breslin is probably Poku.
Sure.
Oh no, right. I said he was one of the aliens, huh? I don't even know who's on that team anymore. Eric Bledsoe? Yeah, because she's Eric Bledsoe because she doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. All right. The Village, Sean.
I think this is pretty clearly the San Antonio Spurs.
Ooh. Explain yourself.
Well, they're stuck in this old-fashioned basketball world where you're not allowed to shoot three-pointers. And people just kind of stay there for years and years, like way longer than you think they would. And they don't want to go to like the outside world unless like and it's only when there's really strange circumstances like Patty Mills plays in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And then he realizes he could go play somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But they like recruit people that are kind of older and into this weird cause. And for some reason, no one questions that they, you know, keep losing in weird ways in the playoffs or not even making the playoffs. They're like, we can't change the system. And also one of Greg Popovich's motivating devices is having Tim Duncan dress up as a monster and yell at them if they shoot a three.
See, I'm thinking of the twist, right? So the twist of the Village. Look, we're going to spoil all the M. Night movies.
Oh, my God, Joey.
I know, I tried not to, but then...
15 years to see this movie. Look, as long as people are just... If it makes anyone not see some of these movies, I'm well on board with spoiling them. The Village sucks, man.
So The Village is about a bunch of, like, fake Amish people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That live in a park?
The deal is they've all like lost family members
the
or something.
The whole time you think you're watching like an old timey movie, and then it's revealed that they just live in Central Park, but in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's like a nature preserve, and they've all chosen to live there because like their relatives.
Well, their children have not.
So, yeah. But the people who move there, it's because of their deep grief and like their, I think their families got murdered or something.
I don't even remember.
M. Night's not happy unless the main character has someone important in their life who's been murdered. That's an M. Night hallmark. Anyway, that's The Village.
I think this is the Utah Jazz.
And they are just
stuck in their bubble of screen assists. Until somebody leaves.
And Grayson Allen's like, I'm going to tell everybody. Gotta silence him.
All right, Sean. Maybe my favorite M. Night movie, because it's the worst, craziest one. The Lady in the Water.
This one is such an insane movie. It's one that ruined M. Night's relationship with Disney because
he did it himself.
He did it himself. Well, I guess he pitched it to a studio executive, and the executive said, I don't really understand it. And M. Night was like, well, I'm going somewhere else. And then the executive said, well, we'll still make it and release it. I just don't understand it. And he's like, too late. I'm a genius.
So let me read the plot to this.
Yeah, read the plot.
Apartment building superintendent, Cleveland Heap.
Uh-huh.
His names are the best. Rescues what he thinks is a young woman from the pool he maintains. Uh-huh. When he discovers that she is actually a character from a bedtime story who is trying to make the journey back to her home, he works with his tenants to protect his new friend from the creatures that are determined to keep her in our world. Sean.
Yeah.
Who is Lady in the Water?
I mean, it's just like... I'm trying to think of something where it's like, it's a total mess, but there's all this weird mythology about it that the people in the movie care about, but no, mm-hmm. like literally no one outside cares about. Mm-hmm.
There's also, this is a movie, when I was thinking about this, I was like, who in the NBA just has one strong arm? Because there's a guy in this movie who, for reasons you don't understand, well, for plot-related reasons, only lifts weights with one arm, so he has one big, giant arm, and that later comes into play. That comes into play later when he has to hold something heavy or something.
It never makes sense, because he fulfills his role as the guardian, and Paul Giamatti is really sad, but he's also asthmatic. And then there's a woman in the complex doing the most offensive Asian accent of all time.
This movie also has a very, if you ever want to see Bob Balaban be like really, really important to the plot.
Uh-huh.
This may be the only movie in Bob Balaban's long career where he's important to the plot, right?
He is crucial to the plot. It's baffling. The whole thing's baffling. I gotta say, I had two candidates for this. I think it's the Orlando Magic, Joey.
Why do you think?
Because the whole thing has to do with this insane collection of weirdos and a guy who's so stressed out that he's like nearly hospitalized three times in this mm-hmm. movie has to try to figure out their weird roles. And that felt like Steve Clifford coaching the Orlando Magic to me, just figuring out like it's almost like these guys are from like a plot factory. These guys like Marco Fultz, he's the fastest man in the league, but he cannot shoot. Mo Bamba, he's so big, but he shoots from three, but not from 2 feet away. Jonathan Isaac, he's the strongest, longest man, but his knee is shredded. Like, ooh, like all these like spooky guys. And like somehow like Bismack Biyombo ends up on the team four separate times. Mm-hmm. And like Cole Anthony, who's in the league, and it's like he has such potential to be a great point guard. His father following the footsteps of his father. And also, if they had a guy named Scrunt, mm-hmm. Would you be surprised if they had like Miles Scrunt on the team?
Well, Sean, I had a similar line of thinking as you, but I went with the Milwaukee Bucks.
You were a lot more positive about this film, I think.
Well, no, because the Milwaukee Bucks, the story of the Bucks is essentially this magical guy comes around and then all these weird freaks eventually figure it out to help him win. They're like, yeah, we got this. The man with the crazy eyes is going to stare at this guy. And it's like, like, Chris Middleton, to me, is, like, the most Paul Giamatti NBA player. In that it's like, yeah, he's always, like, a B, but then that one time he was an A.
We're like, he is a real character actor.
Yeah, like...
By NBA like, standards.
So, similar line of thinking, for sure. I was just thinking of all the weird freaks the Bucks had on their team.
And they were always trying to make these combinations where they're like, it should make sense to have Eric Bledsoe to have defense. And then in the crucial moment, he gets Balaban. Spoiler, Balaban doesn't make it.
And I kind of
Balaban a movie critic?
Yeah, he is a movie critic. Also, I kind of think...
Budenholzer absolutely has Giamatti.
Well, yeah, of course. He's like the most Giamatti man this side of Giamatti. But yeah, and don't you kind of think that, like, if Bill Irwin played an NBA player, it would be Brooke Lopez?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and just like a bunch of weird freaks that you need to use, like smoker.
All right, Sean, we gotta move on. Because you have to leave here soon.
I do have to leave soon. Okay, so we have a few more to do.
All right, The Happening.
Okay, The Happening is a
the
movie.
The Happening sucks.
Where plants are making everybody commit suicide.
Uh huh. Yep.
And Mark Wahlberg is the lead.
Uh huh.
So, I'm just trying to think, like, plants are making everybody commit suicide. That's the twist. And your cast is Wahlberg, Zooey Deschanel, and John Leguizamo.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I think I have not seen The Happening. I've seen some scenes from The Happening, but I have not watched the whole thing.
Well, Ruck also in it. Jeremy Strong and Ruck in it together, actually, weirdly. And Spencer Breslin from Disney's The Kid.
Wow. He's that's a Breslin hat trick.
Mm-hmm.
I love Spencer Breslin, I gotta say. I think this is the New Orleans Pelicans, just because there's something about being there that makes everybody want to kill themselves.
See, I thought this one was the Dallas Mavericks, Sean. Because it's like, on paper, before knowing the twist, like, this should work, right? It's like Mark Wahlberg's, like, a real movie star. It's M. Night Shyamalan. He's going back to his roots, making, like, an thriller here. And then everything around it fucking sucks.
Yeah, but it's still, like, kind of a hit.
All right. The Last Airbender, Sean. This is a movie based on a cartoon. People hate it. I have not seen this movie or this cartoon.
I don't know anything about it except that people loathe it to a degree.
Because they love the cartoon.
Yeah,
it's also
and I
one
guess
of those things that like whitewashed a bunch of Asian stuff, I believe.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's just like doesn't make any sense at all. It's incredibly expensive. It's incredibly expensive and it doesn't make any sense at all. And it's like something that people enjoy and has like
people used to love.
Things that people used
to
love.
But now it's bloated, it's like, expensive, and it sucks. This is the Golden State Warriors.
I was just gonna say that. It's the Warriors. Yeah. Yeah, the budget's way too big. People are like, this is based on something that worked before. And it's like, yeah, but this didn't sucks, figure it dude. Out. We gave these guys way too much creative control.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah.
Time to do Devil. This is Devil. A movie he wrote. He did not direct it. It's about six people stuck in an elevator, and one of them is the devil. And they don't know who it is.
This is the Brooklyn Nets. Right? Like, is
which
Kyrie
one's the devil?
Is well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear Blake Griffin is the devil, but you could make cases for other people on the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve Nash might be the devil.
Steve Nash could be the devil. People think Kevin Durant's the devil, maybe, you know?
Yeah, that's good. All right, Sean. After Earth.
Okay.
Another one. This is one of the only ones I haven't seen, but I know what it's about.
I haven't seen it. Will Smith is paralyzed, and so he has to guide Jaden Smith through a hostile alien landscape.
Yeah, but then but no, it's not a hostile. Well, yes, but the twist is that it's Earth, dude.
Oh, it is Earth.
Yeah, the twist is that it's Earth, man. They went to go look for another planet, right? Because they left Earth because of global warming or whatever.
I hate this. damn.
All right. Who is like a father-son sci-fi thing, though?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
who's an old. This is easy, dude.
It's an old man and
his
son.
This is the Suns, man. The Phoenix Suns. This is Chris Paul telling Devin Booker what to do while taking all the credit.
Oh, and on like scorched earth.
Like,
yeah, all right.
Literally, yeah. He was getting credit for games he was at in Los Angeles for.
Uh-huh.
While Devin Booker was
rehabbing, and they were like, but Chris Paul taught this team. how to do it. And then it turned out it was the same old, it was not a new Chris Paul. It was the same Chris Paul playoff experience that we'd had for years.
Okay, Sean, this next one is called The Visit. It's a found footage horror movie about Catherine Hahn leaves her children with their grandparents. And the twist is, guess what?
Her grandparents are aliens.
No, these are not their grandparents. These are two people who escaped from a mental asylum or something.
That's weird.
And they act scary to the kids the whole time. So I can think of this to me as the Spurs, Sean.
Like Greg Popovich.
Because there's this
Oscar?
Old man just scaring children for 82 games a year.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you know that the kid is the young son is a rapper?
I believe he raps in the movie, so yes.
He calls himself T Diamond.
Yeah.
And it's like a found footage thing. Mm-hmm. Forced to play Yahtzee. Oh, so they're escape patients from... So the inmates are running the asylum.
Yes.
This is kind of like the Houston
Texans.
But
the kids had never... The kids had never met their grandparents before, so they think they're their grandparents, but then it's not their grandparents.
I mean...
You'd think Catherine Hahn would have known who her what her parents looked like when she dropped them off, right?
Yeah.
But I think she dropped them off on a train. I think they took a train there anyway.
This is... Oh, yeah. She just dropped them on a train, and they record a documentary. Oh, and her mom... Catherine Hahn married her high school teacher?
Mm-hmm.
This seems too messed up to be the Spurs. I'm going to say this is... I think this is
what is a team where two old men are terrorizing?
I was going to say the Charlotte Hornets, where it's Mitch Kupchak and Michael Jordan. And people are like, we remember Michael Jordan. He's so fun in that documentary.
And he's like, don't leave your room after 9:30.
Yeah, he's like, Rich Cho's body is in this shed. And I also think that Charlotte Hornets games are only available on just like camcorders the players use to film.
All right, Sean. The one I know you've wanted to talk about here. It's, of course, Split.
The movie.
The movie where James McAvoy.
One of my least favorite actors.
One of the worst actors out there, yeah. He does 23 different personalities while torturing teenage girls, Sean.
And then it turns out that one of his personalities really is superpowered.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the Beast. But that's the twist. Yeah.
I mean, congratulations. He's the Beast. So this is a team that feels very schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really stick to one identity.
This one's easy, dude.
Who do you think it is?
This is the New York Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
They're just torturing their fan base. They have a million different personalities. Even Tom Thibodeau sort of has a lot of personalities.
Well, but the thing is, he survives because he's pure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So because Thibodeau is so pure... such a pure basketball animal.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to survive for now. But yeah. You're right. You're right about that. Okay.
All right,
Split's
Sean.
The Knicks.
Glass. It's a sequel to both Split and Unbreakable.
Yeah, resolving that amazing story.
This one also fucking easy to me.
Now in Split, they reunite. Bruce Willis from Unbreakable.
Well, they don't really reunite him. They're doing a news story at the end. They're showing a news story about...
In Glass, they reunite them.
Yes.
Yeah, they tease it with a shot of Bruce Willis watching the news at a diner. And for some reason, they're like, yeah, this guy's a beast. Kind of like that guy used to derail trains 15 years ago. And people are like, what? And then Bruce Willis is like, his name was Mr. Glass.
But yeah, all three of them are in a mental institution this whole movie, basically. Uh-huh.
Was Bruce Willis in the mental institution before?
No, he gets kidnapped. It all happens. Oh, it's all kidnapped. They're being kidnapped. Man.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And Sarah, what's her name?
Like, he's Mr.
Sarah Paulson is like an evil psychiatrist.
Mr. Unbreakable at this movie catches Mr. Split, kidnapping more girls and is fighting him, and then the cops come and send them both to a mental institution
where Mr. Glass also is.
Where he's already there,
and Mr. Glass has engineered. And he has engineered this whole thing.
No,
so that oh, he has not.
No,
but is there
a secret? I'm worried about spoiling this one, but whatever. A secret.
You can spoil
group,
Glass.
A secret group run by Sarah Paulson, whose job it is to make sure that the world doesn't know superheroes exist.
Right.
Kidnaps them, and Mr. Glass eventually uses his powers of being smart to reveal to the world that superheroes exist
through a viral video.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. No notes.
This is the New York Knicks. I mean, sorry, this is the Los Angeles Lakers. It's just a bunch of old fucking assholes. Yeah. And one like young guy. And it's overcomplicated just the way LeBron fucking wants.
And it's just like, it doesn't really make any sense. And it's
Sarah Paulson,
wildly successful anyway.
And Sarah Paulson, who, don't get me wrong, is great, is sort of if you're casting her in a movie, she's sort of the Frank Vogel equivalent, where it's like,
oh, you don't
couldn't
think she's
get Laura
genius.
Linney. No, where it's like, you try to hire a bunch of famous ladies and they all say no, and then you get to Sarah Paulson. That's how Frank Vogel ended up the coach of the Lakers, too. You know what I mean?
Well, and like Anya Taylor-Joy is like almost like Carmelo Anthony. Like, no one's going to remember
THT,
me for
dude.
This one. What's that?
She's THT, dude.
Oh, she's THT. Oh, she's the young one.
Yeah.
And I mean, I definitely could see Russell Westbrook as a James McAvoy type.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I was thinking AD's
Anthony
James
Davis
McAvoy.
Is Mr. Glass.
I was thinking that? Anthony Davis is your McAvoy because he's like 15 years younger.
No, he's Mr. Glass. You've seen him when he like stubs his toe and has to get stretchered off. He's Mr. Glass.
And of course, Clutch Sports is the shady group trying to prove to the world that superheroes don't exist.
And then LeBron's like, we just got to make this Taco Tuesday.
And then they're like,
video go viral. Sheesh. Superheroes exist. Sheesh.
He's like, hey, Obama, you got to come in here and convince everyone else to tell that we shouldn't be telling people that superheroes exist. All right. And finally, old Sean, our friend Katie thinks it's the Chicago Bulls. Do you agree that the Chicago Bulls are the basketball team that makes you old?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like even
it's hard
the
to disagree
guys
with Katie on anything.
Look, even the young guys, like Lonzo Ball is like automatically people are already talking about him like he's a veteran where they're like, well, you could, you know, control the ball, occasionally take a shot. You're like, it's like people are talking about Ron Harper on the 96 Bulls when they're talking about Lonzo Ball's fit. And Alex Caruso is balding prematurely. And also, I'm pretty sure that the twist, I don't know anything about old. I'm pretty sure it's a secret government experiment on that beach, because what else would it be for M. Night Shyamalan? So I could see this being like a secret NBA experiment to just be like, all right, what if we took away all the spacing? What would happen to an offense? Would it age and die?
I said this when it came out, but look, as you can tell, I've seen most of the M. Night Shyamalan movies. I did not want to see this one because it seemed like it was for perverts who wanted to hear adults say mommy 35 times.
Oh, yeah. Or just like, this 12-year-old's pregnant. And then that Food Network guy's like, that's why we got a lower age of consent laws, you whores.
All right. I think that's our episode, right?
Yeah. That Sean, was thank you so much, John L, for the question.
Yeah, thanks, John L. Sean, plug your album recording again.
It's Wednesday, September 29th at the San Francisco Punchline at 8 o'clock. Gonna be featuring my good friend Ben Kalina, one guest who's really great that I can't name, and then one more surprise guest.
Two non-namers, huh?
Yeah.
That usually means famous people, guys.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to promise anything, but I'm also not going to deny anything. And yeah, if you have an album name, you can tweet at me at Sean Keen on Twitter. Give me some suggestions. I'm not going to do my Phil Jackson joke, though. It didn't even work 15 years ago.
What about the jokes that make you old? All right, Sean. You can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on September 5th, I tweeted, Frankie Muniz? With 3 question marks. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Wait, Sean, did you write a song?
I did. In my quest, I realized that I wasn't fulfilling the spirit of the Sufjan Stevens Project, songs about every city, because I did a Kevin Love one for Cleveland, and we've done Kevin Love songs before. Mm-hmm. So this is my replacement for the 30 NBA Cities album. It's going to be called Fantastic. That's what the album's going to be called. This one. And it's a song about departed Cleveland Cavaliers point guard, and it's called Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova.
See, Sean, I think you should name the album 69 Kevin Love Songs. trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all get M. Night Shyamalan on our show. I want to talk to him about basketball.
It's Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. Thank the guy St. Mary's coach for getting him to come over. We think he was teammates once with Ersan Ilyasova. Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. I'm Vegemite. Because Kyrie had tweaked his knee when it was just game one. Coach but let the white guy play, thought it would be fun. But then Seth saw 2 of 15 from out behind the line. And Deli chug 5 coffee mugs to keep him off the pine. Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. Thank the guys at St. Mary's coach for getting him to come over. We think he was teammates once with Ersan Ilyasova. Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. I'm Vegemite. They sent him to the hospital and put him on IVs. And soon Deli was back to diving at opponent's knees. But then he got a 4-year contract offer from the Bucks. Cavs could have matched, but LeBron passed. He thought that Deli sucked. Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. We think I said Mary's good for getting him to come over. We think he was teammates once with Ersan Ilyasova. Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. I'm Vegemite. You can see it backwards. There's Alvedo, Yathu, Dicta, Inkov, Ticknor, Pursue. We're just going a bit too far, you might say. So when Melbourne United wants a veteran at point guard, just offer up a deal to the Australian Luke Kennard. But keep him away from Bogut or he could get radicalized. For example, yes, one writer talked to him about Jordan Peterson and now Substack's his life. Oh, and the National Review loves it too. He's Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. Thank the guy St. Mary's coach for telling him to come over. We think he was teammates once with Ersan Ilyasova. Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova. Super Frantic Caffeine Addict Matthew Dellavedova.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.